So today we have this great readings and this gospel. This first reading where God asks this King Solomon, "What do you want?" Which I love this first interaction. This desire of God to actually ask us, "What do you want? What are you desiring? What are you searching for?" And this gospel, what is the treasure that we're all trying to obtain? What is our dream? Because we have to know what we're desiring. We have to know what we're looking for. Otherwise, we get into that place where we kind of wake up in the morning and wonder, why do I get up? Or we come home at the end of the day after a long day of work and we come back with our family and we wonder, is there more to life? We all have that feeling of, why am I waking up? Why do I exist? Why do I do what I do? What is the dream? And so when we think of this, what I often call to mind when I think of people obtaining their dream, I often think of athletes or great musicians or performing artists. I often think of somebody like, for instance, Michael Jordan. We might all know him. And maybe Michael Jordan, when he first started, when he was a little kid, maybe he thought, okay, my dream is to play high school basketball. So he knew his dream and he knew what to do to obtain it. Because if we don't know the dream, we don't know what to do. We're just floating. We're never living. And so he worked real hard. He was disciplined. He ate the right things. He practiced the right things. He didn't make it the first round or time around and eventually got on the team. And then maybe as he was in high school basketball, he thought, okay, I want to go bigger. The dream is college basketball. That's what I'm going to work for every day to obtain the dream. And so he did. He began practicing more and acquiring better skills. And eventually he does play college basketball. And now in living that dream, maybe he asked, I know what's next. I'm going to play in the NBA. That's what I'll do. That's the dream. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to give every ounce of my energy to obtain that dream. And he did. He played on the Bulls. And then maybe he thought, oh, I'm going to dream bigger. I'm going to dream so big that I want to be one of the best athletes, one of the best basketball players of all time. So he worked and he worked and he worked. And he obtained that dream. And then he retired. So he obtained the dream. And once he got it, he lived it. But then the question is, once he got that dream and he retired, what next? What's the next step? Once you've gotten everything you've wanted, once you've accumulated all the wealth, all the people, all the dreams, once you have them and they've been realized, you have it, what do you do then? Because one of two things happens if we are dreaming for the wrong thing. Either we get it, and then we're like, eh. Or we never get it, and we think we're never good enough. So the question is, what do we dream of, and why do we do what we do? Because there's this great story of a man named St. Thomas Aquinas. He was a great theologian. He wrote many works about Jesus and about the faith. And after he'd written tons and tons of books, he put them down in front of a tabernacle. And he said, here it is, God. I did all this. And he heard the voice of God, and God said to him, Thomas, my son, you have written well of me. What do you want? And Thomas simply said, non nisi te domine. Only you, Lord. Only you. And in fact, just last weekend, I was blessed to go to a youth conference with a lot of our high school students here. It was a Steubenville youth conference. It was in Kenosha, and there's 1,800 high school kids who go for this conference. And so out of the 1,800 kids, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we hear amazing talks. All the kids go to confession. There's mass every day. There's adoration. And you even ask that, why do we do that event? Why do we do what we do there? Is it for the music? Is it for the fun? Rather, there was one 5-minute moment in the entire 3 days of why we were there. And what it was we'd had all the talks, we had confessions all day, and adoration was going on. And what happened is they put host Jesus on the altar, and the priest processed around the entire arena of all 1,800 kids. And he would get real close to them and bless them each with the host. Kids are on their knees and they're singing and they're praising the Lord and they're reaching out. They want to touch the Eucharist. And then after an hour of Father bringing Jesus around the entire arena on the floor, up the stairs, up the bleachers, eventually he came back and he put Christ on the altar. And then for 5 minutes, everyone knelt there, looked at Jesus, and it was simply silent. It was just silent. For 5 minutes, 1,800 high school students just looked at Jesus in the quiet. And that by itself is a miracle. In the most real way, it is a miracle that we all gaze upon Jesus. And what other place in the entire universe can you get 1,800 people for any reason to be silent and to gaze? Because we all know when we go to like a party or an event or with another person, even when we're alone, we've got like music in the background. Every good party has music in the background. Because everyone knows if there's no music, if we're talking and if there's a moment of silence and we don't know what the next thing is to say, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because for a moment you feel vulnerable. You feel exposed, you feel naked, like they're going to see me or something, or they're going to know that I'm not good at talking or I'm not good at being here, and I'm nervous and I want to run because it's quiet. So we're all afraid of the silence, but that's precisely where we have to go. And the reason that we were all at that conference, the reason that St. Thomas Aquinas wrote those books, the reason that all the great saints lived was simply to put their gaze on Christ. Because the reason that the man in the gospel sells everything in order to buy the field is not for the field. He did not accumulate a bunch of money for the money. He did not accumulate that money to have a piece of land. He did all of that for the treasure in the field. And so why do we do what we do? Because if you go to work every day simply for the money, you might get it, and then what? But if we do it because we recognize I can provide for my family, help them so much, bring them up in the faith, and they'll see Jesus Christ, and that's a good desire. Or why do I do what I do? Here's a great way to look at that. Every day, simply ask, today did I see Jesus, and did I seek Jesus? What I mean by this is when your spouse says to you, honey, would you mind doing the dishes? If you simply see your spouse, what's going to go in your brain is you're going to think, I did him yesterday, or we're not in the best place, I don't want to do that right now, or, you know, I've been busy all day, I've been exhausted, you do it. There's always a game of who's going to one-up the other, who's done the more stuff. But if you see Jesus saying, can you do the dishes? You can't outdo God. You might actually do that. Or when you come home after a long day of work or even caring for your kids and it's 7 o'clock p.m. and you can go to the computer and just veg out for an hour and the kids want to play with you and you could easily go, they can go in front of the TV for another half an hour before bed. They're fine. Or as they want to be with you, you could say, this is Christ in the person of my child. I see him. And what am I going to choose? Am I going to choose to see Christ? Or go to that computer? Do I see him? And then secondly, do I seek him? Do I seek him? And if we truly desire to seek him, then we have to have at least 5 minutes a day where we simply sit and be silent to not be afraid to be vulnerable with God. So the question is, why do what we do? John Paul II said, when you dream of happiness, it's Jesus that you dream of. Because if everything we do, we see Jesus and seek Him, if that's our primary goal, if we sell everything to obtain Him, then we will never be disappointed, because that's a gift that we're trying to obtain, not just on this earth, but for all of eternity, and then forever and ever, we get to revel in the thing we've been desiring forever. And we are simply satisfied. And so what do you want? God, let us die to ourselves, see and seek You, and let us say, Lord, non nisi te domine. Only You, Lord. Only You is what I seek and what I dream of. Let every motivation of my heart be simply for You.